broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
But the fact is, we're going to spend $500 million
in the... He's not getting what he deserved. If anything...
Me first.
Really?
Yeah. When Casey came back from school, then he showed me the video.
And he pulled his pants down?
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah! Woo! World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Radio for patriots by patriots. Let me tell you something about this show. We go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. Every night here, man. And join us tonight as well as online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com with live streaming video and live streaming audio of the show right now. We have a live video. It's a Phil TV in HD up right now. And for those of you watching on the video cast this evening, that beautiful scene behind me is El Pacifico. That's the that was actually recorded earlier today, as if you didn't know, because it's sort of a sunset scene. And there you see a little fishing boat tearing along the wake, the waves there. And there's that oil rig that we talk a lot about, and Santa Rosa Island. So that's the beach there. And that was videoed from the very top floor of our studios here, the El Pacifico Studios here at El Pacifico. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, our affiliate spotlight this evening. And we center that at a brand-new affiliate in Vero Beach, Florida, WTTB, 1490 AM. And our great affiliate, WCFO, 1160 AM in Atlanta, Georgia. Great affiliates all. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we've had a story of students walking out of a class to rally for a football coach who is charged with child abuse, and we had another story of students rallying behind a teacher who's been accused of sexual harassment of a colleague. And in this case, it's here in, it's in Kansas City, Missouri. It is at Calmet High School in Kansas City. And on the line right now with me is John Derunian, who is a teacher there at the high school. And, John, how are you this evening?
Very good, thank you.
And you are a teacher at the high school level there. You're a, I guess, what class do you teach?
Well, Phil, I teach a combination of a number of classes. I teach... not only in our math department, I teach trigonometry and calculus. I teach some of the advanced algebras to our freshmen. And I'm also on staff as a counselor, and I'm also on staff as athletic coach for our tennis team. So I do a lot of things, and I hope I do them well.
And you had the great, I guess, distinction of being a part of a program that has been inaugurated there at Calmet High School. That is the Teacher Debate Series?
Yes. The Teacher Debate Series is a series of debates between members of the faculty for the benefit of the students. And it's a way of educating the students on the technique of debate, on the different formats of debate, and as well as the issues that the students themselves are going to be studying. So it encompasses a wide variety of the different topics and subjects that we're going to deal with in our current events classes and our history classes. And
but it does feature teachers debating each other.
But yes, it does. Now we have, of course, our student debating club. But this is a way of giving the students a look at experienced debaters, which I was on a debate team and was a part of a debate society for a number of years. And Mrs. Ganther was as well.
Now, this is the lady we're talking about. Her name is Suzanne Ganther?
Samantha Ganther.
Samantha Ganther. The two of you had a debate.
We did.
And tell me about it.
The debate that we had was about the so-called school bullying issue in Australia, and it was between these two boys, the Casey Haynes and the Richard Gale, and I had taken the side of Casey Haynes, and that is to say, when I say I take the side of Casey Haynes, I took the side of this young man who was, to all appearances, minding his own business and was, in fact, on his way to some other point in the school when he was accosted by this other student and provoked into a fight. Susan took the side of Richard Gale. She said it was her point of view that this is a much more subtle situation of bullying, where this is a smaller boy, he might have been bullied by the other boys, and now he was fighting back, and it's possible that he was acting out in some way. So we debated this back and forth. And at the end of this debate...
Now, before you get going into too much detail, the two of you are debating this in front of students?
We did, yes. As part of the debate series.
As part of this debate series between teachers. You're taking the side of one boy, and she's taking the side of the other. Now, you're debating this in front of the students, and was this a forum... Was it extracurricular? In other words, was it during after-school hours?
No, this was during the school hours. It was part of a regular assembly that we have on Friday afternoons. And so the students get the last period off for this.
Okay. And what was the result of this debate, and how is it that the two of you wound up in conflict?
Well, the result was that she had won the debate, and I didn't think that she had. And we came back to class on Monday today, and I said to the class that I didn't feel I'd lost the debate. And that's what I told them about civil disobedience. And we got into a whole discussion about civil disobedience.
Why were you talking about civil disobedience?
Because it was raised by one of the students who said that, what do you do when the system is not fair? Because the students felt that I had been unfairly treated in this debate, that I should have won the debate. And they felt like they wanted to make a statement. And I said, well, let me make the statement, because I don't want anyone getting into trouble, and it'll be a lesson on civil disobedience. And... they said, fine. And I said to the students, watch me at lunchtime today in the school assembly, in the assembly area where we have lunch. And so my form of civil disobedience was to walk behind her and to grab her backside, if you want to say, or her buttocks and squeeze, and keep on walking. And she did not see me do it. She looked around and did not see who did it. She was obviously...
You walked up to her then, and you this was your form of civil disobedience, correct? To squeeze this woman, a private part of this woman's body. Now, how do you?
Well, when you talk about civil disobedience, Phil, there's a number of different ways of affecting civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is not a legal thing; it's an illegal thing, but it's done to protest a wrong or an injustice or an unjust law. And that's what I was more than anything, trying to communicate to my students.
But that's a form of sexual harassment, too, isn't it?
It's not a form of sexual harassment if the individual is anonymous and is doing it for purpose, and that is to say civil disobedience or a protest against a civil injustice. So we came back to class after lunch, as I told them, on your free period, please come back and let's talk about this, and they did.
And what class is this?
This is our history class, California history.
It's a California history class, and you take debating in this class?
Well, of course you debate any number of things in history classes, as well as in political science. You debate historical events, you debate the significance, you debate the motives, you debate the effectiveness of... people's actions, and so that's what we do with our history classes.
All right, so you had walked up to this teacher, and I got to tell you something. You know, I don't know if this is something that students find funny. I don't know if it was something that you found funny, but you walked up and you did something juvenile, and you walked away.
No, it wasn't juvenile at all.
Well, and then you walked away, and you then assembled the class. And they all gave you kudos, as if that we had just pulled a really funny prank. And to me, it doesn't sound adult at all, and it doesn't sound like it's an effective way of teaching kids anything. How do you call that civil disobedience?
Well, you let me explain. I think I did explain, though, that this is an act that is.
It was an act of sexual harassment on this woman. Okay, now, look, I'm in favor of fewer and fewer constraints on human behavior if we can all afford them. But you're teaching your kids about so-called civil disobedience by walking up to a woman and squeezing her rear end.
Without her, this was an anonymous act, Phil.
All right, tell me why that's better than doing it and her knowing who.
I'll tell you why, because it is an act of civil disobedience. As an anonymous act, as an act of civil disobedience, and done in anonymity, it is absolutely a covert political act. It is to circumvent a law or a rule or a ruling, and to do it so that you are making a statement. You know that what you're doing is illegal, or is against the status quo, and yet you're doing it anyway.
Yeah, but if you look at the great civil disobedient acts of the past, let's, for instance, take in our own country the marches, the civil rights marches that willingly broke certain laws, these Jim Crow laws, there was no anonymity involved in any of that.
There was no anonymity involved in any of that, but there was still the anonymity of the crowd. There was only really one individual known to the authorities, and that was Martin Luther King, and the rest of the crowd cloaked in a sort of anonymity to be able to say, I do not believe in this system, and I'm going to protest it the best way I can by sitting at a lunch counter and getting covered in milkshake or food or whatever it was that was thrown at them. If you think about that, that's not very dignified either, Phil. So my walking up to Mrs. Ginther.
Hold on for a minute. I don't understand the comparison between people who are risking getting beaten at a lunch counter and having food thrown on them, and perhaps worse, and you walking up to this woman Ginther and pinching her butt or whatever you did. The story here is that you used your whole hand.
I did.
All right. How is that? You seem to be proud of this, and I'm having a very difficult time.
I'm proud of it because I was able to find an effective way of.
No, you already said an effective way of civil disobedience. But how is this something to be proud of when you're doing this in front of a class of kids? What has this got to do with the idea that you were unfairly treated in a debate?
I was unfairly treated in this debate because I'd won the debate, and
who were the judges of this debate?
Well, these were two individuals from the debating society. Both of them are student advisors, and both of them are capable people, but they're not, I would say, necessarily experienced debating society patrons. So I was treated unfairly. My students felt I'd won the debate, and they said that it was unfair. And they said to me, "Mr. Drainian, you won. What can we do? How can we protest this?" I said, "Civil disobedience."
And so walking up to this woman and you know, teachers are supposed to be role models. You understand that?
Of course I understand that, Mr. Henry. I've been a teacher for 17 years, and I understand better than anyone that teachers are role models, and I taught my students.
Let me ask you a question. Do you see that as a foolish act?
I don't see it as a foolish act. I see it as the most effective way of protesting an unfair decision.
By walking up to this woman and grabbing a very private part of her body and squeezing without her knowing who did it, and in any other venue, if you'd been caught, you would have been accused of civil disobedience, wouldn't you? I mean, of sexual harassment.
Well, that's a Freudian slip, but let's let it go.
No, it's not a Freudian slip. I meant to say sexual harassment.
All right, it's sexual harassment if someone catches me, and so what I did is I did it incognito, made a very powerful statement against how I was unfairly treated.
But students may think it's all right to assault or harass women now. They may think that it's fine to, as a civil disobedient act, go up incognito without anybody knowing, with the girl's back turned, and squeeze her rear end or otherwise violate her person.
No, students are not going to do that. Students are going to find a far more effective way of protesting an unjust decision, Phil. This was a decision that I had lost in a debating society in a high school. It wasn't the end of the world, and yet we wanted to protest this. And knowing that we weren't going to overturn it.
But was it done as a joke?
It was not a joke, no. We felt that it was the most effective.
When you say we, what do you mean we?
Well, when I met with the students after class, and I said, "What did you think?" And we were laughing, and they were giving me high fives, I think everybody recognized that it was the best way to protest this.
Walking up and squeezing a woman's rear end and then walking away.
In light of the injustice of being denied the victory in the debate and the fact that I was not being allowed any other alternative to protest it, then yes.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And with me here is John Derunian, who's a teacher at Calumet High School in Kansas City, about losing a debate, protesting that debate loss by walking up to the teacher in question and squeezing her rear end in a crowd in front of his students who thought it was funny. And he doesn't think that people are going to look at that and be influenced by that, other students. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. Next hour, State Senators Guy Barton and Kurt Quede on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. On the line with me is John Derunian, as we talk here about this situation at his high school and the fact that they had a debate, he and another teacher named Samantha Gunther. If I'm getting the name right, I'm sorry.
No, the name is Ganther, Phil, and she's a member of the student advisory board. She's also a debating society member herself, and she's also our assistant principal. She is a very eminent teacher and a very good teacher, but as a debater, especially when we were debating this topic, which was school bullying, she is out of her element, and I was able to make a number of cogent points.
Oh no, I understand. You believe that you won the debate.
I won the debate going away. You can ask my students, who all said to me after class that, in varying ways, as students would, you know, Mr. Derunian, you were not treated fairly. So when we talk about this moment of civil disobedience, and you can't really say, well, look, I'm not going to have you kids walk out of class. We're not going to go down and storm the principal's office or however one might imagine those things are done. I said, we will act in a manner that is disobedient, that is a protest, and one that will allow us to continue our work day.
And so you went into the school, you went into the cafeteria.
Mr. Hendry, I'm not here to get approval from anybody. You asked me to come on the program and explain what happened.
No, but I don't think you've explained yet how it is you walk up to a woman and squeeze her rear end while she is standing there in line with her back to you, and you do this anonymously. How is she supposed to get the message that this is a protest against what happened in the debate?
Oh, she got the message all right. She was very familiar with the unhappiness of myself and my students. And I think I said to her, and I said in a kidding way, I said, you know, it's on now, and she laughed. And I said to her, it's on now, and about a half an hour later, she feels someone put his hand on her rear end and squeeze, and the connection, I think, is going to be very clear.
The connection she's going to make is very clear.
I believe so, yes.
Between a half an hour ago when you said it's on and her getting sexually harassed. 877-876-PHIL in Danville, Virginia, I believe it's Don. Go ahead, Don, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? I think that this guy is a sexual deviant using the loss of a debate to get his jollies with a woman in front of high school kids.
That I would expect people to think that.
I cannot understand any. You know your point. I just can't understand how you connect that with civil disobedience.
When the woman, I said to her, it's on, because she knew that she had unfairly won the debate. I had won the debate, and my students agreed with me. So I said that to my students, we need to protest this if that's what you want to do. So I went up, and I touched her in the manner that I've described. Now, for her not to know that that was a part of the debate. That she completely forgot, you know, that what
That's
she
crazy.
Forgot what we'd said.
Don't you think teaching your kids maybe to submit a protest with a debating committee would a, or
well,
something like that?
Know. Can I ask you, how much college have you did you go to?
Because
I'm talking about preparing kids for college, and this may not be a topic you understand.
How much college did I have?
Yes, sir.
4 years.
I doubt that.
Well, why don't you believe him?
Why don't you believe him? Because I don't pitch. I don't understand
don't
why you would pitch.
You don't sound like you're college educated.
That's
Phil
nice.
Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-PHIL here as we continue on. It's Monday, but it's the same old thing. Talking here with John Derunian, who is a high school teacher from Kansas City. And John, you were the loser of a debate that you said you won, and the form of protest was to grab a woman by her, let's just call it what it was, her ass, correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
And you feel that that is a form of civil disobedience?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. A form of civil disobedience that is the cornerstone of protest in this country and has been for a long time. And I wish that I could have made it something more eloquent. I wish it could have been storming the principal's office, but we didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to put the kids at risk. And I didn't want to get them in a situation where they were going to be in trouble.
Now, how do you know that this teacher is not listening to you tonight and is going to pick up the phone and call a sheriff or a police officer and say, well, this guy's just admitting on radio that he grabbed me by the rear end and hence sexually harassed me, and you're going to have a cop standing there tomorrow when you show up for school?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think... she's getting some notoriety out of this. I think the kid's got a little bit of a laugh out of it.
You don't think that this woman is being humiliated right now?
I don't think so. I think that what's happening is that I walked up to her in the lunchroom. I squeezed her on the rear end. I was put up to it by the students anyway, so I'm not going to be having to take the fall all by myself.
Hold on. You know, you're coming up with more and more reasons. You're not going to have to take the fall because why?
Because the students put me up to it. They said, what can we do? And I said, well, we can't storm the office. And I said, if I walk up and I squeeze her rear end, and they said, yeah, do that.
This is your idea of the students putting you up to it. You know, I got to tell you something. Your students are your charge, and you're doing something that is going to be, you know, obviously read by them as a legitimate form of civil disobedience, squeezing somebody's ass, and they're going to do it. And you don't seem to get that.
No, they're not going to do it, Bill, because that was a convenience. In the future, I think, endeavors, they're going to be able to have a far more healthy form of expression than walking up to a teacher and squeezing her ass. They just don't have that kind of outlook right now. But to go to your first point, which was, is she going to call the police? I know she's not going to call the police.
Well, you don't know that she's not going to call the police. You don't know that she's not going to be out there, you get a cop out there tomorrow and arrest you at the school. You're on the radio right now.
Well, again, she's getting some notoriety. I think that people's attention span, especially when it comes to the radio, is very limited. And I just don't think that it is the kind of situation that is, you know, I would say if she's listening right now, I would say, Samantha, don't do it. you're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to tell everybody, hey, I'm the one who got her rear end pinched by John Deruni, and you're just going to be embarrassed.
You're talking to her right now. You sound like a man who doesn't want to have the cops there.
No, I don't. If you want, Samantha, if you're listening right now, if you want to call the police, ma'am, come down and arrest me. You're welcome to do that.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Dean. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Phil. John, I've got a couple questions to ask. First, don't you think it would have been more appropriate to teach civil disobedience against the governing body that you say unfairly found that you had lost that debate, vice the opponent who she didn't make the decision or unfairly treat you?
I don't understand your question, Dean. Did you hear what this guy is saying? What are you asking him about that for?
Yeah.
What are you asking him that for? Are you listening to what the guy is saying? He said he walked up and pinched the woman on the ass.
I want to answer the man's question.
No, well, his question's stupid. His question is asinine. Yes, it is. You're asking this guy about why don't you go to the authorities and talk about it to the authority?
No, this guy sexually harassed
a woman. Are you listening to this?
Yes, I am. And please, I'm going to get to that.
No, I don't think you are.
Why would he attack the opponent in that debate in his so-called civil disobedience by going to the governing authority that he feels gypped him? Why would he instead take it out on the opponent?
Because she's a female and she was making a big deal out of winning, and she was lording it over everyone, and she was talking about how she won this, and she was talking about how she won that, and she thought she was pretty, she was something special.
This had little to do with civil disobedience and more to you taking her down a notch on her little totem pole, right?
Right. You just admitted something.
You wanted to demean her and debase her in front of those students because you felt like she was lording it over you that she won. You know what? She's the opponent. She won by judgment.
There is a civil disobedience against women. There's a civil disobedience against the woman
matriarch. You completely negated your other comment saying that you were going to protect the students and not let them get into trouble, that you were instead going to show them how to properly conduct civil disobedience, and then later you come down and say the students put you up to it. You know what, sir? You may not have to worry about that principal filing charges, because I believe most parents can make some kind of complaint with your school board and get you fired for it, which I hope they do.
It is civil disobedience against the matriarchal figure in our society that is continually given the benefit of the doubt against the male.
All right, this has got nothing to do with losing the debate. This was a sexual statement, a sexual political statement about a woman winning a debate.
Hey, John,
that's exactly what you just got done saying, man. You said it's a matriarchal thing because this gentleman pointed out if this was a legal thing, why would you go against her? Why wouldn't you go against the people that adjudicated or however they did it, judged her the winner?
If I could add one more thing before John answers that,
there's a small p as well as a large p in politics. The small p
John,
politics is I don't like her.
John, you stated earlier that under any other circumstance, a man grabbing a woman's butt would be considered sexual harassment, but your anonymity was what changed that legal standpoint. Well, what if someone had come up and punched her in the back of the head without her knowing who it was, or committed some other violent act against her without them actually knowing who it was? Does that make it not a crime? Does that make it not a crime because there's anonymity involved?
I didn't say that it isn't a crime. I said it is a crime, but how are they going to identify me?
The crime is not called civil disobedience. The crime is called sexual harassment.
There is the crime, but then there's a category of crime. You can commit murder, you can commit robbery, you can do all kinds of things. Are those crimes of civil disobedience? Or are those just acts of violence against society? Civil disobedience is a crime willingly committed by someone to make a political point, and so you're not denying you committed a crime, are you, Mr. Duranian?
Well, I mean, you put it that, I mean, that's not what civil disobedience is.
Yes, it is.
Well, then, no, I didn't commit a crime.
Yes, you did. You walked up and you pinched her in the ass. And now you're telling me you didn't?
I did, but I was anonymous.
All right, Dean, thanks very much.
In fact, it's a crime.
It doesn't. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Are you now denying that what you did was civil disobedience?
I'm saying that it was civil disobedience, which means that it's not a crime, right?
No, I mean, you're a teacher and you don't know this? This reminds me of the night we had the guy on from the ACLU. The guy was a lawyer, and I knew more about international law than he did. You're telling me that you don't know what civil disobedience is?
I'm telling you that I do know what civil disobedience is. Civil disobedience is committing a crime, but doing it in a way that is peaceful and is not injurious to the point where it is no longer a crime.
Oh, get out of here, man. That's not what civil disobedience is.
That is exactly what it is. And that's why...
And that's why you pinching a woman on the ass as she's standing there minding her own business is not a crime. Eric in Worcester, Massachusetts. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I took some debate schools to classes in high school, and one of the arguments said you should never insult personally the person you're debating with. So by pinching that woman's butt, but you personally insulted her as well as assaulted her, and also the first caller when you can question his education, this is also a personal insult. You should debate about the facts and not personally insulting.
What do you mean about the first caller? What do you mean the first caller? I don't recall what the man.
It was about he doubted that he had college education or something. So that's a personal insult.
Well, I was saying that because I was wondering if he was going to be able to grasp what it is that I was saying. See?
Yeah,
I didn't think he was too bright.
Well, that's exactly what you said to the man, too. You said, I don't think you're bright enough to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's an insult. That's what this gentleman's saying.
Well, I think that if you are... That man that called wasn't... I wasn't going to get anywhere talking to him because he was obviously a hillbilly. Now, you, sir, sound more intelligent.
He was obviously a hillbilly. Why? Because he was from Virginia?
I was getting bored very quickly. Now,
that's the worst kind of argument that you can have in a debate. And you're teaching that for your kids? I mean, you know, that's not a rule of debate.
What do you mean, the worst kind of argument? What did I do? I said to the man, you sound like a hillbilly. Let me ask you, are you going to waste your time with someone that you can't get through to? I don't think you are. And so that was my point to him. Secondly...
I think it's not a good example for kids to physically assault someone that you don't agree with the debate.
Right. And that's the point we're making, among many other points, which you've given me about 500,000 more points when you said that you don't think civil disobedience is a crime. If it's done peacefully and non-injuriously, then it moves from being a crime to a non-crime. Thank you very much, Eric, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445, as we're talking here with John Derunian. He's a high school teacher who lost a debate with a fellow faculty member. And this is a series, it sounds like a very good series, to be honest with you, that they conduct for the students where teachers debate each other. And the students are the witnesses, obviously. They're the audience for the debate, and they learn about debating styles, and they learn about the issues of the day. He lost the debate, and the student said, that was bad, it was wrong, and he said, how about some civil disobedience? They said, yeah, and he went up and pinched this teacher in the ass. I don't get it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Next hour, we've got State Senators Guy Barton and Kurt Quitty from West Virginia on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. With me, Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. We have more of your phone calls, and this has turned into a, like I knew it would, this is a spirited debate on the global warming or global climate change topic.
Phil, there is nothing spirited about this. This is not a debate. I've just been accused and attacked as an intellectual. I would think that you would have come to my defense. You had a guy, and I shouldn't say you had a grease monkey,
All right, look, if you don't need to call him names.
What was he doing for 15 minutes but calling me names, saying that as a scientist, someone who has worked, I've worked my fingers to the bone. And I'll tell you something else. Let me ask you, do you believe that 9/11 was an inside job?
Of course I don't.
Why do you believe that?
Because we know for a fact that it wasn't. We know that the suspects that were on the plane were members of Al-Qaeda, these 19 individuals.
But what about the science? Didn't they say that the building was exploded from within by some sort of demolition?
We happen to know that that did not take place. There's been no physical proof of that. We by deducing that it would take months to wire a building that big to bring it down. Building 7, we know that that term, you know, we all of these things.
Okay, the reason why you believe that is the science is in. And the science is in on 9/11.
I mean, I'm not putting it very elegantly.
No, but I know, but the science is it, right?
Yeah, I would say the science is absolutely in, and has been in for many years, on whether 9/11 was an inside job. It is an absolute scientific fact, among other things, that hijacking and that series of hijackings and those murders were caused by these terrorists in Al-Qaeda.
Okay, you say the science is in on that, and you won't even give me the dignity that you'd give a starving man by picking the crumbs off of your plate in the morning from your toast and giving them to him. You won't even give me that, will you?
Give you what, man? You're not giving me anything. You said the science is in. I agree.
Well, then why don't you say the science is in on global climate change?
Because it's not. Plain and simple. And if it was, you guys would debate it, because the American people are confused.
Oh, well, why don't we debate whether or not the Earth is flat?
Hold on, man. The American people and the people of the world are confused, and you guys don't even give them the dignity. You don't even deign to talk to us directly, you scientists who say the facts are in. You won't even sit down and debate this. I mean, if it's in, you could kick the hell out of anybody that disagreed with you, but you won't even do that. You won't even do that. You won't even sit down directly and have a debate. The former vice president of our country, Al Gore, I can't believe he looks like such an ass when he won't even stand there and debate directly anybody that challenges this.
Okay, now you stepped over. You've just called Al Gore an ass. You have stepped over the line with me. And I would ask you right now to get off of your show. I'd like to continue this by myself.
Well, that's not going to happen.
You have stepped over the line. And I'm asking you to get off your...
It's not going to happen. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to a phone call here. I think we have Rosemary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I would like to say that the hyperbole on either side doesn't help anyone. It's, I'm sure, great radio. But I think climate change is a serious issue. And rather than talking the way we're talking, and I think the problem is that instead of the word debate, the word educate should be used. There are people that are going to believe whatever they want to, but with climate change, the issue is the planet's going to be here regardless of what we do to it. The issue is whether it's going to be habitable for us, whether there is going to be a place that's comfortable for not just us, but our children and our children's children. So
I don't know what's a habitable. That was the Lord of the Rings.
Well, maybe I...
Don't be, doctor. She said habitable, and you understand what she's saying.
Mr. Right, Henry, okay. No, I did not. It sounded like she was saying hobbit or something. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Matt.
I'm sorry. Maybe it was my southern accent that threw you off. Anyway.
Are you a doctor? Are you a scientist?
No, I write software for a living, but I read a lot, and I do believe that climate change is real.
Oh,
and I think
God,
the issue is, I think climate change
go.
Is actually real.
What?
I think the science is in.
Here we
but
go.
I think
will you allow the lady to talk, Dr. Tarner? Just because she's not a doctor or a scientist, this is exactly what we're trying to say. The average people of this country and this world have to understand this.
So long as she makes it clear she's not a scientist.
She's made it clear. Go ahead.
I'm not a scientist, but I think of myself as educated.
I'd like to draw people's attention to that statement. You're not a scientist. Thank you.
And she says she's
not
any... I'd like to... Go ahead.
If you would listen to me, you would find that while I agree with you on the scientific principles, I think that there is climate change. But I think that we don't do any favors to people by, I think the term's debate. You don't debate the theory of evolution there is with creationists, because why would you have a debate? One is fact, one is not. I think the issue is that you need to educate people about what...
Well, I want to answer that, Rosemary, because creationism and evolution does not have the divide that this has. I mean, you have over 100 years of evolutionary education. We don't have a long time getting up to speed on climate change, but we're told we have to believe in it. And there's a huge divide in this country.
Mr. Hendry? I'm the guest.
Go ahead, Rosemary.
Okay, but there, if you lived in the panhandle of Florida, you would think
that there is
a great debate and there was nothing subtle.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is, instead of being, with all due respect, Dr. Turner, by calling people names, it doesn't make people want to understand your position. And I think that the issue is that climate change...
That one guy... We still going up, but you heard the one guy who jumped cars for a living. Where's the lady? What happened?
Phil Hendry.